On this unusual Good Friday service, I would like to share with you one verse in Paul's letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there. And I'll read the verse in just a few moments. But I want to share something that I have experienced over just the last few weeks. I have spent a good amount of time wading through articles and podcasts and blogs debating what worship should look like during this exceptional period of self-isolation and social distancing. And from what I have gathered in wading through this slew of articles and podcasts and blogs, it looks to me like most like-minded, reformed, Presbyterian-type folks have embraced some form of live streaming, including ourselves. But not all. I have seen some who argue that the church should not live stream anything. No preaching, no sacraments, no prayers. I've seen others argue for live streaming preaching, but not live streaming the sacraments. And I even read one brother who views live streaming as unacceptable for communion, questionable for preaching, but perfectly fine for baptism. And as I'm reading through these things and listening through these things, part of me, I will admit, I find myself just shaking my head and thinking, this is just like American evangelicals. A global pandemic strikes, and they don't miss it as an opportunity for another round of worship wars. However, fundamentally, I understand these are important questions. These are unusual times. None of us have experienced something like this when it comes to church in our lifetime. So I would like to address the question, what should worship look like? Let me first speak to what should worship look like under normal circumstances. I think that's a pretty easy question, at least from where we stand. Under normal circumstances, it is absolutely essential for Christians to gather face-to-face, in person, physically, weekly, for the Word, sacrament, prayer, and fellowship. Acts 2:42, clear as can be, they gathered for the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, the prayers and the fellowship. That is the normative for Christian life. I hope you realize that. That is something we as a church, I think, emphasize repeatedly. The common means of grace, word, sacrament, and prayer, regularly and together. That is how Christ promises to bind us to himself and to grow us in the Christian faith. Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembly. That is essential to normal Christian life. But what do you do when you cannot meet together physically? What should the church do in times of plague? What should the church do in times of pestilence? Well, I think the answer is the same. You cling to and devote yourself to the word, sacrament, and prayer the best you can. The best you can. The church does not shut down ever, even when our ability to gather together physically is suspended. We still are called to focus on the glorious basics, the blocking and tackling, so to speak, that grow us together in grace and bind us together to Christ, even though it might be for a season. Those manifest themselves in some irregular ways. And this is nothing new. This is nothing new. I mentioned the first Sunday that we live streamed that a video of a sermon is a poor substitute for the covenanted congregation assembling together for the preaching of God's word. It's a poor substitute. That's not normal. But I believe strongly a poor substitute for the preaching of the word is better than no exposition of the Bible at all. Same thing for prayer. Praying with someone over the phone is a poor substitute for praying with somebody live and in person. And yet oftentimes I do it. Again, with the belief that praying over the phone, a poor substitute for prayer, is better than not praying at all. I think the same thing with the Lord's Supper, taking communion to a shut-in, taking communion to the sick, is a poor substitute for their physical presence with the covenanted people of God. And yet, if that's all you can do, oftentimes I and some elders will take communion to the shut-in because we believe it's better than no sacrament at all. I'm convinced the answer to the question is, what should the Christian life and worship look like during times of a global pandemic is the same as any other time. We do it the best we can, word, sacrament, and prayer. This isn't so unusual. Even the preaching of the word, before this all began, we would record sermons in God's providence. Sometimes you're providentially hindered from attending church, and that is a ministry. It's a poor substitute to go back after the Lord's Day and listen to a sermon that was previously recorded, but it's better than no sermon at all. I believe it's better than not having the exposition of God's word at all. Praying with someone over the phone is a poor substitute for praying with somebody live and in person and in contact, but it's better than no substitute at all. Taking communion to the sick or to the poor or to a shut-in is a poor substitute for their physical presence with the gathered assembly of God's saints. And yet I have done that and do that with elders from time to time. And again, it's under the belief that it's better to have communion with a few people than it is to have no sacrament at all. All this to say, friends, these are strange days, and we are coming together as the body of Christ in the best ways that we can, technical difficulties and all, focusing on God's primary means of grace, the word, sacrament, and prayer. There's a beautiful passage. I want to focus on this evening, in Colossians chapter 2. That reflects the heart of a pastor when he cannot be physically in the presence of his flock. And this was an experience that Paul had more than one occasion as an itinerant apostle. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said, "Though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." That is a powerful thing, to know that even when we're physically separated for a time, we can be spiritually connected together. We are spiritually connected together. We can be virtually connected together in worship. That is a powerful thing in an uncertain time, to be able to virtually connect by the Spirit and worship together. Nothing can compromise our unity in Christ. Not even time and not even distance. That is a precious Christian promise. Nothing can compromise our unity in Christ. And friends, the Lord's Supper consummates that oneness. At the heart of the Lord's Supper is this idea that we are one in Christ, even over distance and time. So I want to tell you, wherever you are this evening, and by far we have many more people, I hope, still joining us through the live feed. We have 6 people here. But wherever you are this evening, even if you are under quarantine and alone, you are not alone. You are in the presence of Christ. Christ's presence is always with you. And because we are in Christ, we are united together in spirit. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith. In these days, is the live streaming of the preaching of God's word a little irregular? Yes. In these days, is the live streaming of the prayers of the church a little irregular? Yes. In these days, is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and baptism a little bit irregular? Yes. But as we come to the Lord's table this evening, I do want to emphasize, we've never done it this way before. But this is still under the authority of the session and the pastors of our church. If you are a repentant Christian and you place your faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation and you confess his death and his resurrection, we invite you to come to the table, take and eat, find ease and refreshing and strength for your weak and wearied souls. Many of you who are live streaming picked up a packet. So I'm going to ask you to prepare that at this time. If you don't have this, under these irregular circumstances, you're welcome to find a suitable substitute. It's very possible that some of you live streaming do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you that this weekend, of all the weekends of the year, is the time to really reflect on the message of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life that we might obtain his righteousness. He died the death that we deserve to die because of our sin, and he rose again from the dead that we might have eternal life. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the saving way, I want to ask you to not partake, but to take this time to pray and to ask the Lord to give you faith. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat the bread together. The same manner he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you." Let's drink together. It is our custom at the Good Friday service to leave in silence, and I do want to maintain that. We do so because today, in so many ways, is a day of mourning, the death of Christ. But then as we leave here in mourning, we do so with eager anticipation for the day of resurrection this Easter Sunday. So close the table with me, please, in prayer, and we will conclude the service. Our Father in heaven, in these strange days, we thank you that we can return again and be refreshed by the basic message of your gospel, to be reminded of the death of Christ for sinners, and to renew our hope in his resurrection as the first fruits, which ensures our resurrection for eternity. Lord, in these days, keep us sober about the brevity of life. Help us as we come to your word and to your table to be reminded that you are our only hope in this world and in the life to come. And Father, turn our hearts toward Resurrection Sunday. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.